All right. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
It's great to hear from you. Thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Really looking forward to the show, July 22nd at the Beachland Ballroom.
That's right.
I think last time I saw you in Cleveland, you were opening for Motley Crue, and the show only lasted 3 songs.
Oh, yes. The infamous Cleveland show with Motley Crue. One of the only 2 times I ever lost my voice.
What kind of memories do you have of that show?
Yeah, the answer to that question is that it was very mixed. For one reason, I really wanted it to happen was I have a lot of relatives in Ohio, and a lot of them were at that show for the first time to see me play. And it was a great audience that night. I remember, you know, that they were really going crazy for Y&T. And I went out there, and I lost my voice on the first song, and I tried my hardest to get to eke something out for the next couple of songs, and it was completely impossible. So, like I said, that's only the second time in my entire 32-year career that I actually lost my voice completely. And it was frustrating, you know. But, you know, we kept thinking, oh, well, that's right. We'll get back to Cleveland, and we'll make up for it. It took forever.
Yeah. For a while, it seemed like the band was only doing a handful of shows a year. What made you decide now to go out and do a full-scale tour?
Really, we've just sort of been building up to it. When we got back together again after being apart for quite a few years, it was like 2001, you know, we didn't really know how far we were going to go with it. Our thought was we're going to take it a day at a time, and let's just do a couple of local shows and see how we feel about it. And we did a few local shows, and all of a sudden our manager started getting calls. Hey, I hear Y&T's back together. We want you to come back to Europe and play festivals and do this and do that. So really, we just kind of took it from there, and you know, we did some summer festivals in Europe, did a few more shows, and then the next year we were like, let's keep doing this. You know, this feels good. And it took us a couple of years to get the ball rolling again. And now with a change of management and everything, we've really started to push the envelope a little bit more, and we want to tour and we want to keep playing now.
What made you decide to get back together in 2001?
Just one of those things where, you know, the band never feels like we said it all, or you know, because we knew that the band was still very good and all the members were still around that wanted to play, you know, it was just kind of frustrating to just sort of sit there and not do something. And I guess it's kind of like a prize fighter, you know, who says they're going to retire, but it's always in their blood. You know, it's like, oh, man, if I could just do one more fight, it feels so good. But, you know, when it comes to music, if the fan base is still there for you and the band is still playing well, it kind of doesn't make any sense why you don't want to keep doing it, you know. And that's how we felt about it. When we got back together, it was like, you know, between that and the website with the fans constantly, you know, given us a lot of encouragement and everything, you know, we just felt like we had to come back and do it.
How was touring different in 2006 than it was like in the mid-80s or early 90s?
Well, a whole lot less crazy, obviously. The 80s were a time that will never be, you know, repeated, I don't think, at least not in the near future. You know, it was absolutely insane. It was in a good way. And also, you know, insane in a work way. I mean, it was constant, nonstop. You know, we just basically toured, wrote, did a record. It never stopped. And of course, you know, our style of music was peaking at that time, not only for the fans, but also in the press and in radio and TV. So it was a great time. But I got to tell you, right now feels equally as good, if not even better, because of the fact that we can just sit back and relax and enjoy playing music just for the love of playing music now. It's not about making a lot of money. It's not about, you know, fame and fortune or anything. It's about playing for the fans that never got a chance to see us, or the ones that always still wanted to see us or haven't seen us in years. And, you know, and it's just really about the love of music. And we can do it in a more relaxed pace. You know, we don't have to tour 6 months in a row on a tour bus together where we want to kill each other. So it's way hipper now.
I'd like to talk about a couple individual tracks here. I was listening to Musically Incorrect on my way to work today, and one of my all-time favorite Y&T tunes is Quicksand. How did that tune come about?
Quicksand?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Because, you know, we put those two independent records out in the 90s. You know, we got, you know, sort of a mixed reaction about, you know, what that type of material was going to go over with the Lion T fans. But, yeah, Quicksand, what we ended up doing is we just jammed in the studio and for pretty much that entire record. That's how we mostly wrote Y&T albums anyway, is just jamming. But we would get into all kinds of weird things where we would push different types of beats, you know, and that one doesn't have a standard 4/4 beat to it. And I can't remember who started it, but somehow or another, a beat happened, and it just felt a certain way that the band kind of put this sort of Eastern kind of sound swing to the vibe of that song, and it kind of wrote itself, to be honest with you. And that's how a lot of songs go, especially some of the better songs, I think, is that they end up writing themselves because they sort of inspire themselves in a way. You know, we get a vibe for a particular vibe on the song, and it you know, leads to another part and then to another part. And the good thing was is that we kept the adapt machine rolling the whole time we were rehearsing. So if we ended up coming up with something kind of brilliant that we all looked at each other at the end of jamming something and said, "Whoa, that was cool. I hope we can remember it." We didn't have to worry about it. It was on tape already, and so that's kind of it. And then of course the whole way that song sounded and felt gave us the idea for writing some lyrics that you know, were sort of moody, and obviously that's what it's all about.
The time signature and arrangement on that song seem different from even anything else on that record.
Yes, it is. It is, definitely. And it's cool. It's a cool vibe. I mean, you know, like you say, you know, that I think in some way that stuck out more than any other song on a record that's stuck out in a long time that we've done. And we love playing it live. Unfortunately, we haven't done it recently, so you know, I can't say that we could work it up in time to play it for Cleveland, but it's possible. It's possible while we're out here on the road, you know. But we've got a new drummer, so we'd have to just, you know, give him a copy of the song, listen in his headphones for a day, and then go for it. But it's a cool tune to play live. It really is. It's difficult for me because I sing and play because that lick is played in a timing that's completely different than the timing of the vocal. So it took me a long time to get that right, you know, to where I could play it well and sing it right at the same time. But it's a cool tune to play live.
One of my